Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody today on this beautiful Sunday that we've been blessed with.
Beautiful Sunday with some heat out there. And I hope everybody, wherever you are, what part of the world you're in, you're giving the Almighty all his praises for giving us this
right.
day.
Give Big Papa the props, y'all.
You know, because without him, would none of us even be here to talk about nothing. We trust everybody had a beautiful weekend out there. And going to have a great week coming in. Today we got a great show scheduled for everybody, and I'm sure it's something we're going to talk about, going to touch everybody, you know. And that's what we're here for, kind of play. And we always talk about each one should teach one, you know. So that's what we're trying to do up in here today. Also, let me put this one out there for those that don't know. The subject of today's show is complexities of jealousy. I'll say that again, complexities of jealousy. And later on in the show, we got a special couple people joining us. Going to be Mr. James Dotson. Author's going to be joining us today. We also got Shakita Winfrey is going to be joining us today. And we also got L.J. Knight, author and show host of Yes, She Said It, going to be calling in to talk about complexities of jealousy.
All right.
So don't be looking around like y'all, you know, don't be looking around like y'all ain't got them, because we all got them, and that's what we're trying to talk about up in here today. We're trying to find out, is this a must that we born with? Or is there some stuff that we learned along the way, and what can we do about it? That's the question for today. What can we do about it? Where do we get it from? And we're going to talk about some of the people that have some firsthand experience with that. I know I have. Have you, Joy?
What, being jealous?
Having people being, you being jealous, having some people being jealous of
you.
Oh,
yes, yes, for sure. And not really even knowing that that was happening, you know? And I'm like, I'm just me. You know, this is, I got my own style. So don't hate because you don't have that, you know? And it's really something how you don't, you know, you're thinking it. Some people are your friends and stuff, and they have ulterior motives to being your friend, you know, depending on what you're doing in life. You know, if you're in the entertainment business, they want to be around you because, you know, they want that.
They want some of them perks. They want some perks that you be getting. Where they
exactly. They want those perks. You know, they want to be your friend. Can you get me to this concert? Can I go here with you? You know, and, you know, being in the entertainment business, you can actually count all your friends on one finger. You heard me?
You really can. Yeah,
more so
we can say in entertainment business because of so many mirrors and smoke screens and people wear so many disguises and so many different masks, you know, they've learned how to camouflage it so well, you know.
Right, right. And it seems a trip how all of a sudden you come up with all these friends. You know. Girl, I knew you way back when. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I'm still tripping off the friends that say they're your friends and being really jealous of you.
Exactly. And
I'm
like,
tripping off
your
friends.
And your name is what now?
You know, because I be wondering like, oh, I'm just a regular person, and you're just a regular person, and our friendship is not based on what you got and who you know or what you wear and what you don't
right.
have. And that's the way that we see it, but they see it a whole different way. You know, they
right.
don't like
they,
your
they
swag.
They think that you got it going on, and you can introduce them to folks, and I got this rap record, and, you know, that type of thing. And it's really not cool, you know. And it's not just the entertainment industry. It's like whatever you are successful in, people want to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
And they hate on you because, you know, and my feeling is, look, I work for this shit, okay? I'm not about to give up nothing to nobody, you know, unless I see that you got potential. You know, me, I'm always willing to share, but I'm not going to give it away. You know what I'm saying? And there's people out here that just want to take and take and take, and they hate on you because you got it like that, and they don't. Well, I work for this shit.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, Joy. People, is it that people like you so much? I like to say that people like you so much till they dislike you. You know, I like to put it that way, and a lot of people don't understand that. It's because if you think about it, I mean, what is it? They don't dislike you because they don't dislike you. They don't need no help for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
right, right.
They like the way you carry yourself. They like your conversation. You know what I'm saying? And the more they look at you, the more they look at themselves in the mirror, and the more they feel inadequate. So rather than accepting the fact that they really need to step their game up, you know, shameless plug right here, play a step the game up. Instead of them stepping their game up, you know what I'm saying, and fixing whatever deficiency they may have, which would truly, would totally, you know, get past their little jealousy thing they got with you, they'd rather not do that. They would rather just dislike you.
Exactly.
And they would rather say, Joy thinks she all that. She thinks she this. No, it's no, Joy just doing Joy. And if you were so busy doing you, you wouldn't have no reason to even look at her like
be
that.
Be hating on what I'm doing.
You know?
You know?
You know, you
congratulate. But that's a big part of life, though. You know,
so
I'm all for congratulate. Don't hate. Participate.
And those that just joined the show, that's what we're talking about, the complexities of jealousy. We want to know, where did it come from, and what can we do about it? So hit us up.
I got a suggestion of where it would come from. You know, there's some people that are so insecure. And once again, what we talk about goes back to certain insecurities that people have. you know, and they figure, well, you know, I can't do that, so I'm going to jump on this bandwagon and see if I can ride this wave, you know. You heard me?
Yeah, I heard you. You know, I had a conversation with one of our other guests today, but I'm going to let her speak on this because her thoughts were that it goes way back, even further, mm-hmm. further than that. It even goes way back to some racial issues when one person thought they was better than another person because their skin was a lighter complexion.
Yeah. And then
you know,
that
so
goes
they,
back
they,
to...
They
that,
thought
that goes
they were
back
getting,
to the crab in the bucket mentality, too.
Absolutely. And
you
I
know?
Think it's still prevalent today. I just
oh, yeah.
think like it's just been manifested, I should have said, morphosized, and people have been able to hide it a little better, but it's still there. You
yeah.
know, people are in a position to give you a job promotion that really help you career-wise, and they won't do it for whatever reason. They it's not that you're not qualified. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not
yeah.
qualified, then what reason for them not would not want to see you advance?
And then they come with this other bullshit where you're overqualified. What the hell is overqualified? What is that?
It's,
how you going to be overqualified for something?
But especially if you're willing to do the job, there's no such thing, you know what I'm saying, because we're all trying to eat. Now, if you're willing to adjust your household income to do a job and do it better than the average person, I mean, who's to say that you can't have it? It's not for them to say. So then it becomes to that little jealousy thing. They don't want to do nothing that they see that could benefit you, even if it's not costing them. So what can we do, people? What can we do to fix that? Call in, tell us what you think, give us your opinion. We'd like to hear them. The caller number is 646-929-2870. Let us know what we can do.
Yeah,
I
because
know,
it needs some. There's some work that need to be done. You know, some definite work that need to be done. We all sisters and brothers from the same camp. You know, we all trying to be successful. And it just if one just gets ahead of you a little bit, you know, congratulate that person because that person can bring you up with them. Possibly. And then there are the ones that, you know, I got mine, you got to get yours. You know, that's another thing. You know?
Well,
and it should be like each one teach one and reach one. But that's not always the case.
No. Very rarely. It's very rarely the case. You know, people got so many excuses for why not, but they can't come up with a reason as why they should.
Exactly.
You know, and it takes the same amount of energy to me. You know, I personally think, which is my opinion, which Joy always points out to me, that we all got one, like something else. But my,
yeah, like,
my opinion is the start starts with self. You know, we have a tendency, you know, to say, well, keep it real. But, shit, if you ain't keeping it real yourself, how's the shit going to ever get fixed? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we say we don't like something, we need to really try to figure out why that is. You know, get to the true cause of that. You know what I mean? You know, but if you can ask yourself why you dislike something and you can't come up with a valid reason, you're jealous. You're jealous.
You're jealous because I hate you and you didn't.
You're just jealous. If you don't like something and you can't tell yourself or anybody else why you don't like that and have it to be a valid reason, your ass is jealous.
Okay. And that's all.
That's it.
That.
That's all. It ain't nothing else to say about it. So if you want to keep it real, just say your ass is jealous. Pray on it and try to fix it. Well,
exactly.
Hold on with us. I think we got somebody else want to join us. Hold on, Miss Lady Joy. We'll be right back. Hello.
Hi, it's LJ Knight calling in.
Hey Miss LJ Knight, welcome to Can a Player Play.
Mhm.
And
we welcome you.
Hello, it's LJ Knight.
Hi.
Yes, you said it. How are you doing?
We're fine. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. I'm kind of coming in. I'm a little late, But I'm coming in with the story here that you guys are talking about, you know, the whole crab in the bucket thing and jealousy factor. Now, are we talking specifically like just a certain within the African American culture or just period?
No, just the whole situation all the way around.
We talked about it all the way around. I guess we tend to kind of like start out with our culture without saying our culture only because
we know best
exactly
because we know that culture maybe better than anybody because we're of that culture.
Exactly.
But I think jealousy
hits everybody. Yeah, definitely. I just want to make one point, though, to kind of add on to what you guys are saying, because I do agree with, you know, everything I've heard so far. Definitely jealousy affects everyone, you know, it's overall a people thing. But I think when we speak specifically maybe with, you know, unfortunately with African Americans and how it affects us and our culture, as far as how we interact with each other, I'm going to kind of, this might seem a little off, but I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I think a lot of what our jealousy and things like that towards each other, and our interaction with each other, a lot of it stems back all the way to slavery. Like, that stuff really fucked us up. Like, I know people downplay it. You can say, oh, get over it. It's been, you know, so many years, and no one's ripping on you and stopping you. And true, that's not the case now. But the mental, you know, strategies and the how we were separated and pitted against each other and things of that nature, that just kind of, it was inbred in us. You know, it's just passed on from generation to generation to generation and so on. So on some level, I feel like it's still affecting us to this day. I mean, I know people don't think like that in our everyday life when we, you know, but that's where it comes from. I feel like at least a good 50 to 60% in our case, personally, viciousness towards each other sometimes, I feel like at least a good 50% of that comes from the slavery aspect. You know, as far as our culture.
And it's like, you know, the light-skinned folks get to go to the big house.
Exactly. We have that same mentality of how we're, because we were pitted against one another and we weren't able to make a bond. We were stripped away from husband and wife, weren't able to be together.
And it's
just a lot.
It's stuck. Mm-hmm. It's stuck.
All of those things.
So let me ask you this, LJ. Okay, knowing that, hold on, we have another guest here. Let me let her in. I think this may be Shakita. Good old hello, welcome to Can I Play a Play.
Hello, hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hi.
What's up, Mama?
How you doing?
Fine, darling. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Just tuning in. Is it Shakita?
Yes, it is.
Hello and welcome to the show.
Thank you,
Shakita,
for having me.
Of course, we have our regular suspects. That's Miss Joy. We also Miss LJ Knight. She's also an author and show host from Yes, She Said It. And this is Ms. Shakita Winfrey. So I just want to make all the proper introductions so everybody knows who everybody is.
That's great. I love when we have guests.
We were talking, Shakita, before you called in, about the complexities of jealousies. And we were on one particular point that LJ brought in, that her opinion was that we were inbred with this from slavery, and it's just been passed on for generations and generations, and we unknowingly have an innocence, and we're acting on it unknowingly as well. I think that's what you're saying, right, LJ?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's like an internal thing, it's a subconscious. I don't think we necessarily all the time are purposely, you know, acting on it, like, you know, in our front, basically saying, like, we're just going at it off of automatic. I think it's just, it's in us, you know, it's like inherent, it's inside of us, you know, this has been passed on.
It's a part of us now.
Exactly. So it's like now you have to almost make a conscious effort, you know, to not behave in a certain way or to not, you know, lean towards a certain behavior.
Right.
And would you say that also, that same attitude, you know, permeates through brothers, sisters, siblings?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you dislike your brother because you feel like the one parent, both parents may show them more favoritism, this or that. and it's carried on through your immediate family a little closer. People
it's even more intensified. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that also can go back to the parents. That can be prevented, you know, I think to some degree. You know, sometimes you can't help a person being jealous. Then there's sometimes when there are parents who do show favoritism, and it's, like, obvious, you know.
Right,
so.
Because they'll show favoritism to a child that's achieving more than the other child, and then that makes that other child feel inferior. And they're like, well, fuck it. You know, you think I'm the worst one anyway, so I'm going to beat it.
No, wait. No, I got a flip side of that one because in my family growing up, it was just the opposite. I couldn't understand for many, many years why my parents let my brothers get away with shit that I wasn't able to get away with. Said something wrong, look wrong. You know, if I said something wrong or looked wrong, you know, one of my parents would slap the devil out of me.
Oh, you can dig it, bruh.
Yeah, I think that, again, that goes back to the parents and how they see the children. I don't think that it's done on purpose all the time, that a parent is, you know, giving special treatment, so to speak, to one child over another. And then other times, it's like, they are, because they may find something special about this particular child,
or maybe
this child has special needs, but for whatever reason, you know, sometimes it can be prevented, and sometimes it's just, you know, subconscious. Like, I have a perfect example. My mother was adopted, and my uncle was adopted, but my grandparents had one biological daughter. So they have three kids in total, but they adopted two. Both my uncle and my mother, the adopted children, said that they know for a fact they were treated differently on some level. Now, they were all treated equally as far as, like, they all had clothes, they all went on vacation, they all ate dinner, they all were fed and clothed, all of that, you know, obviously the basic essentials, you know. But on some level, they still could sense there was a difference, you know, in how they were treated versus my aunt, who was their one and only biological child. And that doesn't mean that they did that purposely, obviously, you know, but on some subconscious level, they may have leaned towards her and treated her better or, you know, treated her differently, exactly, than the other two. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, too, also, some parents, you know, with the way things are today and parents have to work and you know, trying to make ends meet and stuff like that, and they see a child that's, you know, if they got a couple of children and one is doing better than the other, they might seem to lean towards the one that's doing the best because they don't have to do as much work with that child. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to do as much work with that child because, you know, they don't have to work as hard with that child because I already got my hands full. Okay, he's doing
exactly.
This one I got to work.
Sometimes the other one doesn't get as much attention, you know,
Exactly. So the child that might be an overachiever is just not getting that attention. I won't say love because, you know, for the most part, most parents love their kids equally, even though one might be doing better than the other. You know what I'm saying? And it's really hard because the way the economy is these days, you know, if you're a one-parent household, you got to work double than being a two-parent household, you know, and you might show favoritism to one child that's doing good. It's like, okay, well, I don't have to do as much for this one, but I got to work on this one here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And which kind of leaves that one child who is doing good, well, thinking, well, damn, I'm doing everything good and getting good grades, and I just don't get any.
Exactly.
And then,
also, it could be the opposite of that. The one that's doing the best, the parents, you know, they might shine on that one when the one that's not doing as much, it's like, well, damn. You know, so it's one half of, put it, how's it go, one six pack or something like that of other, and you know what I'm saying. It's half of this and half of that.
My parents always lean toward the weakest one. I couldn't understand it for years because I'm like, shit, I'm the one getting the good grades, trying to be the good guy, the one jumping out, look at me.
Exactly.
And the brothers got away. They got away with all kind of stuff I couldn't get away with, and I couldn't understand why.
They expect more out of you. That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't understand why.
So it can work
and
either way,
always,
you know?
And my brothers always felt like I got, you know, played the favorite. They gave me everything I wanted, and they did everything, and I never saw it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I was babysitting little brothers when I wanted to go outside and play baseball. I didn't know.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
It wasn't like I felt no favoritism. I felt like I was the older brother, so certain things I just had to do.
You had to deal with, you know.
So I'm like, geez, I didn't get away with nothing. But let's talk briefly about, you know, jealousies in the workplace. I mean, I'm
I can tell you some stories. I got some stories for your ass with that one there.
Should I start?
Or we got somebody else doing some something?
Yeah, Shakita, why don't you start?
Well, right.
Like,
okay.
Where do I start?
I don't even know where to begin with this jealousy in the workplace. It's just so unfortunate in this day and time that you know, depending on how the person looks, the way they dress, the way they're built, the color of their skin, that it tends to sometimes create a disadvantage or an advantage, depends on the way you look at it, in the workplace. It's just really unfortunate that with those attributes or whatever, that, you know, it can cost you your job. It can cost you sexual exploitation. It can cost so many other things, you know, in the workforce, that you know, as a person, you feel like you just walked into it. So there, I mean, it's a lot. When I was working for corporate America, I've had jealousy in the workplace, and I always got told on, Shakita ain't doing nothing over there. You know, but they were doing the same thing I was doing.
Right.
You know, they were falling asleep. Right, they was falling asleep just like me, and, you know, but they wanted to tell on me. I mean, and it's just, you know, it just depends, and it's just so unfortunate that, you know, how was jealousy created? Where did it even come from? You know what I mean? Like, you have to look at
somebody else not having what you got.
Right. So it's just so amazing that you, even in the workplace, you have to be careful of how you dress, even, you know, sometimes the flamboyant, you know, you really don't want to just, you know, just be blinging all over the place, because it creates jealousy. So, you know.
So how does it affect you even when you dress down, you try to fit in because you're trying to keep that job, you're trying to get along with people, but here now, you're changing who you are. You know what I'm saying? Now you're playing a whole other role. You're playing a person that you're not even back. You know what I mean?
Right.
How does that affect you?
Right.
Does that create an uncomfortable work environment? Because now...
Yeah, because, you know, you're trying to please. You know, you got to work with these people, you know? And I've experienced that big time, you know, being in the entertainment business and being a female. I'm up against guys that I could kick their ass in ratings and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to calm down nothing, because I'm me. I'm doing me, okay? And I've had situations where, you know, I got told on for doing some stuff and I wasn't doing nothing. It's like, well, you need to watch her because she might be doing this here. You know, it might. That's a big word. Okay, why are you hating? I'm just doing me. Don't hate on me, you know. And especially in, I feel, I've been in the entertainment industry over 30 years, and I feel that it's enough out here for all of us. You know,
yeah, I definitely
trying
feel that
to,
way.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I ain't trying to steal your thunder or none of that, because I got my own. I don't need yours.
I think,
you know, congratulations, work it, bruh, and touch my hand. Maybe I can do that too, you know. And if I can touch your hand and you can do what I'm doing, you know, whatever. But
yeah, I think
you know, we as a minority, you know, we've had so much negativity to deal with, and it's like we still don't understand it. You know, it's
right.
Like,
we still don't
understand it. You know, we don't understand
how we look in front of other people. Because I mean, just if you look at some of the other races, do you see, you know, in corporate America, let's say for example, where you have a white guy, do you see him saying, look at the shoes he got on. He think he ought to. You don't see it. So,
no.
But, you know, we.
No, you don't see that.
But we downplay ourselves so much.
That still goes back to that whole cultural thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's just something that, like I said, it was inbred in us. That's not new.
Exactly.
Know?
Right.
So,
exactly. Right.
And
you know,
thing,
even with parents and children.
Is,
with children, they are a product of us. So even if you can't go around saying, oh, well, you can't, you know, don't do what I do, but do as I say.
Do
you
what
can't
I say.
Because they're watching
right.
you. They're watching you. So, you know, you got to display a perfect role model for your kids as well.
So the question that I have out for, look like I got an all-ladies panel today on the show. The question
don't
I
be
have
scared.
Is,
don't
what,
be scared. Don't be scared.
Oh, I ain't scared because I can represent the 10,000. You know, I salute those.
Whatever.
You know, but my question is, ladies, what do we do about this? I mean, what do we do? How do we fix that? What do we do?
Well, we got to come from within with that, you know, and that's hard because, you know, everybody's out for themselves. With the economy the way it is, it's like, you know, screw you, I got to get mine. And you know, there's very few individuals out here. It's like, okay, well, I'll share with you. You know, because of the economy the way it is and people having to deal with their own type of problems and stuff like that, it's very hard. And it's like, okay, you can say that, but, you know, I got to do what I got to do, you know, and all of that stuff. So it's really hard. And if anybody got some suggestions how we can work with each other, and build with each other, bring it, you know, because that's something that we need. And we as a minority, which is a large minority, you know, we're not seeing eye to eye with each other and what we need to do.
Right.
My opinion is we're not seeing anything, but for those who just joined in, you can hit us up at 646-929-2870. This is kind of play a play. We're talking about complexity of jealousy.
Right.
My opinion is, which is just my opinion is, I think
and
when
opinions
we tell
are
people,
like,
when we tell, you know that, but when we talk about people keeping it real, I don't really know what they're saying. I don't even know if they understand the words that come out of their mouth because we know first what we're doing right and we know first what we're doing wrong. We don't need nobody to tell us that. We know first, you know what I mean? And I know if I have an issue, I got two ways to deal with that issue. Either I could man up and deal with that issue and try to fix it, or I could suppress that issue and play like it don't exist, which is a weak way, you know what I'm saying? But I
right.
think if we all kept it personal, kept it one-on-one and try to fix that self.
Keep it 100.
Then it might be some true improvement, but I think a lot of people are still full of shit. They be saying they keep me real, but they really don't because they still not liking homeboy over there because he's riding a certain way. He ain't liking homegirl over there because she dressed and look a certain way. And then when you ask them why, and when they even ask themselves why
they
really
don't
like
know.
Them, they can't tell you. They
exactly.
can't tell you. Because if you give them a checklist from 1 to 10, what do you dislike versus what do you like, the likes outweigh the dislikes, and what does that tell you? I'm jealous!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also jealousy also stings from low self-esteem. A lot of people have it. They got a lot of insecurities.
Who told you I ate too much and I'm fat?
Yeah.
And I don't want to
okay.
Yeah. So basically, if you're being unique, you know, I think that if you can understand that, you know, you're special and you're unique and you're not in competition with anyone and you know who you are inside, that can definitely alleviate a lot of jealous tendencies. But see, you know, jealousy comes from competition, comparing yourself with others, you know, just like you were saying, the cars and what she got on and what he's driving or whatever. It's competition, you know, and if you decide, you know, look, I'm in my own world. I'm my own unique I got this. This is who I am. I don't care about if her hair is longer than mine or if my hair is not as straight as hers. I know who I am.
And I love
than myself.
Me or whatever,
right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know, man. I come from this Indian tribe that was a little bit different because we respected the king or chief of the next tribe. If you got it going on and I like what you got and I think it's good, I can respect you and I can give you all your props. I do not disrespect that. Queens respect queens. So if you could do that and keep that in its proper perspective, that jealousy thing will even come in. You know what I'm saying? It's no disrespect in liking something.
Over there.
It's no disrespect in saying something's good. But the lie comes in when you recognize those things are what they are, but then you deny the fact that they are what they are. Now, that's some weak shit. That's jealousy.
Yeah.
It really is.
So would you guys agree that the way that we fix this, that we can put out, is that we got to start within our own self?
Yes, I agree, actually, but that takes a certain level of maturity, and some people ain't willing to face themselves. So, you know, that's an individual basis right there.
Right, but can we put them in the category of the weak?
Yes, we can, but that doesn't mean that the weak can't affect others, you know.
That's true. Oh, hold on 1 minute. We have somebody else want to join us. Hello. Welcome to Kind of Play a Play.
Good afternoon. It's been a long time, but this is Passion on the line. And
hey, Passion. What's up, girls?
How are you guys today?
Good afternoon.
Hi,
welcome
how are you, darling? We missed you. Where you been?
Girl, all over the place. But anyway, I was taking a moment to listen to you guys, and you guys have got a very interesting conversation on. And I agree with pretty much everything I've heard so far. What I wanted to say is that you guys are right when you say that a person, when you call them weak, it's not weak, it's broken. You've got people that have experienced things in childhood that they never came to terms with, and they just went off in life. And every choice they make is the absolute wrong choice because they were traumatized.
They don't know no better.
They don't know no better. And unless they, you know, get to a point where they're forced or either go seek out some help for themselves, you got a Band-Aid on society walking through life. And I've seen people make it all the way there in their 50s and 60s, and they're still a Band-Aid to society because they're emotionally and mentally crippled and trying to pretend like they got it going on and everything's okay, even though their life is a constant, you know, chaos.
So do you feel like there's no hope for these people?
It is hope, but they got to recognize it. You know, they got to recognize that they need that, you know, and it's hard for some people to recognize that they need that kind of help, you know.
Right.
Yes,
they, you know, because they think they got it going on and stuff like that and not really realizing, home selling.
See,
what up with you?
Right. You see, my term for that lack of a better phrase was weak. Because to me, weak as in a fiber, as in a man or as in a woman, is somebody afraid to deal with the facts as they really are. You know, we can talk about integrity, we can talk about morals, we can talk about principles, we can use any of those terms, but I still just kind of put in that little one thing, like weak. And I've been that too, you know, growing up, because in order to learn the ways to handle certain situations, you know, you can handle it the right way, the wrong way, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, you know, as growing up, we like to choose the path of least resistance.
Well, you could be telling somebody a better path and it's least resistant, but if their mentality is twisted, they may take the worst course. But in their mind, that's telling them is the best course because they don't get it. They've gotten twisted up. You know, life has caused them because they weren't mentally focused and straight to start with. Well, they were
right
all the way around, all along.
Right.
And a bunch with it, you can tell them all day, the least resisting course, and they're still going to take the harder of the two and
mm-hmm.
then wonder how they got to where they're at. How did this
mm-hmm.
happen?
Yeah, how did it happen?
And then also, in addition to what you're saying, that, you know, a lot of people sometimes have those emotions and they're jealous and they wonder, why did she get this? Why didn't I get it? You know, that
exactly.
competing factor. Once again, you're comparing yourself to someone else and you wonder why they have the things that they have and you went down the same road that they did, but you end up somewhere else and they did not. So, you know, it's insecurity, competition to me, and it's low self-esteem all the way across the board.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
Nine times out of ten. Something that happened early on in their life got them to feeling low self-esteem, and they never
mm-hmm.
could get it together. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's how they live their life, being insecure, jealous of everybody else. But until they fix themselves and start loving themselves for who they are, like you mentioned earlier, they're going to continue down their same path.
Right. Absolutely.
So, y'all people out there listening to the show, if you're broken, that was a term I think I heard, you guys better go get some super glue and fix it.
Get it fixed.
Because you're going down the wrong road.
Well, I mean, what I'm trying to say is, yeah, somewhere along the lines they got distorted about some things. And like I said, it normally stems from childhood. Reason being, we encounter things that we're not mature enough to deal with. And so we make excuses or come up with denial scenarios about what happened. But at the same time,
what had happened was, you know,
version of what happened, and whether you were angry about it or made you feel low self-esteem or frightened you or whatever, you go forward with that distortion. And so when we become adults, sometimes when we start recognizing that we're encountering issues in our lives that aren't going in the way we want, sometimes it is okay to go and talk to somebody and see if you can take a look at some things in your life, and you go back and it's called rescuing the child. They couldn't be rescued when they were traumatized as a child, and we have to do that as an adult to be able to bring our life into alignment with what it is we're trying to do.
Exactly.
But some people don't want to accept the fact that their life, they made a mess of their life. Their choices were wrong.
And they don't want to accept that, and it's like, baby, that's how it is. I mean, like, what else can we do?
Everybody else. It was the neighbor. It was my boyfriend. It was my children.
It wasn't me.
You start making excuses and blaming everybody else instead of taking responsibility for the choices that is your life and where you find yourself today.
And that's what I call weak. That's what I call weak. Not willing to accept the fact and deal with what's really the truth.
Whatever you want to call it, it's all of that.
Yeah.
But if you want to see it straight, you got to do something about it. And if all your choices for the last 10 years have been wrong, you might need some help, somebody else to weigh in on what possibly might be going wrong and not sit up here thinking, ain't nobody tell you nothing, I know it all. And that's most of the people I see.
Now you just gave me a title for another show called Why Are We Stuck on Stupid?
Okay, I like that. And we are.
Why are we stuck on stupid?
Don't hit her with the newspaper.
Who y'all over there abusing, talking about hit him in the nose with the newspaper?
No, we just acquired a puppy, okay? And my daughter is like, I'm like, don't hit him with the newspaper. Just rub her nose in it, and you know, a couple months old. So, you know, not like I rub your nose in it, okay?
No, not at all. We talked about complexity of jealousy. Don't be jealous because I got a good-looking nose.
I wanted to comment when you guys were talking about the workplace, and I said, well, you know, I'm also encountered the same things that you guys were talking about, and I call those hostile work environments, and I don't say they're much longer. If I come, and because I'm trying to dress professionally according to, you know, what I believe the position, you know, dictates, and I see people that don't care nothing about how they're dressing, and they're start being jealous of me and create messy situations. I start seeking employment otherwise and otherwise, because I don't want to be in the hostile work environment today. I go there just to do the work I'm assigned and make my money. I don't want to be in your political politics, your workplace politics, your sexual politics. I just want to do the work and get paid and go home. And a lot of times you go to these jobs, people, if they can't make you get into their little clique, or they don't like the way you're dressing or how you talk, you're in trouble right from the beginning. Hey, what are you going to be able to do about it? And you don't own any stock in the company. You don't own the company. It's time to keep it pushing. Matter of fact, my girlfriend and I, it's called Keep It Pushing.
Fight against violence.
I don't want no kind of confusion. Don't want to be bothered with bullshit of any kind at this point in my life today.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, it's amazing because guys, you know, guys run into the same problems on their jobs, you know, especially when they're aspiring for, you know, different positions.
Yeah, but it's not as prevalent as it is with females on the job, you know?
Yes, it is. It's no different. It's no different. There's women supervisors could actually like a guy but would not give him a promotion or a raise because she cannot have a relationship or cannot deal with that guy. And she'll keep him stuck in one position. And it's not because she don't like him. It's because she do like him. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so
yeah,
that's some dysfunctional shit, but it's just true. You know, it happens every day. You know what I mean? So it don't only happen to women, you know, and then guys. Guys, to me, you know, that's why guys are a trip to work for because they got some old other kind of hate or jealousy going on, too. They just do. I mean, their egos get involved, and they just don't want to see anybody else do the same or do better. You know, they just don't. And they don't want to look at the fact, why don't they? You know, the brother's intelligent. You know, he's eager. He's a go-getter. You know, he makes the company look good. But they will not give that guy his props. I mean, why? You scared he's going to get your position one day? And even if he do, so what? You know, that makes you look even bigger, a bigger man, because you gave this man a start. But the average guy.
We don't see it that way, though. And
every guy don't see it that way because he's weak. Because if he had
ego
strength,
comes into play.
If he had any strength about himself, he'll see that a true king or a true chief don't roll that way. You know what I'm saying? He empowers his people because if you got a good solid team, that makes you a better captain or a better chief. If your team and your crew is weak, it makes your ass weak.
Hey, Diddy, your off is that you're assuming that everybody is a king and everybody's a queen. And I see a lot of people that make that mistake. Everybody is not a king and everybody is not a queen. Can't be, and you have subjects. You know what I'm saying? Only a true king can understand what you're talking about, or a true queen.
You're right.
But everybody
is
not a king or a queen.
You're right. And I'm having that problem right now, and I appreciate you for recognizing that, because for my microscope, my periscope, and my eyeglasses, I just be trying to focus on the ones that need to be focused on. So sometimes I forget that there are subjects and shit out there, but I know sometimes they really can't help me. So thank you for bringing me back to Earth.
Subject has whole shebangy. Not everybody, I mean, you know, because we don't know our true history, a lot of us get that confused because we heard the kings and queens were taken up out of there. Everybody that was brought out of there was not a king and a queen. It just wasn't so. Some of them were their subjects and their peasants.
That is so true. I don't know. I guess some of it is acquired behavior, too.
Yeah, we just got through talking about all the reasons people have that kind of acquired behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And a lot of the stuff we got was from slavery. You guys haven't talked about the Willie Lynch concept that has ruined our, you know, people as a whole because we've been locked up into that. But it was only supposed to last for 300 years, so we're hoping the next 2 years we will have been lifted up out of that hypnotic fog.
You said it was supposed to last that long. You know, is there a expiration date on that, or
he told them that when he sold them that concept 300 years ago, that if they did it right, it would work for 300 years, and they could control the people. That was the whole, it was a business proposal that he sold to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And they've worked it, and they continue to work it. But somewhere, I guess, magically, we'll either educate ourselves like we're doing today, talking about real, you know, issues, or one day we'll wake up out of the hypnotic fog, and we'll be freed from it. But, yes, our people suffer from a lot of the effects of that proposal. We're jealous of each other. Untrusting, we trust the other people more than we trust ourselves. So all those things come into play.
That's how it is.
Yeah, all those things have to come into play when you start looking and dissecting what exactly is the problem here. We've been plagued with all this.
You're so right about that, sis.
Yeah, well,
I just love.
I guess the
we love having you.
Yeah, the plight is definitely us figuring it out and doing something about it. So hopefully, you know, the next generation could work it out a little bit more, you know, and start looking at the things that they do, things that they say, and how.
Speaking of the next generation, what would you suggest to tell your children then when you see these qualities or these habits in them? How do you nip that in the bud?
Our children are lost.
Yeah, they are.
So some of it is natural, obviously. Sometimes you might feel jealous of someone else to some degree. You know, and then some of it is culturally, you know, cultural based, you know, and it's all about how you handle those emotions. You know what I mean?
Right.
More important.
I feel that the parents got to be strong, you know, and you are the parent. You're not their friend. You are their parent. And you need to talk to them, sit them down and talk to them and say, look, this is how it is right here. Okay, and mean what you say and say what you mean. You know, because a lot of parents, they don't even want to talk to their kids about sex, you know, because they find it embarrassing. They don't know what to say, you know. You got to put it out there because they're going to go out there and find out on their own.
I mean, but besides, like, kind of trying to tell them not to be jealous, which you guys suggest as far as any other way we can build confidence and self-esteem, especially within our young black children, so that maybe they won't feel the need when they go out into the world and interact with other, you know, black children and black people to keep those same instincts going, you know, those same, you know,
you know, we all, first of all, we all are products of our environment. We all are. And from one, we all are products of our environment. Your kids got you in them, your grandparents, the old neighborhood, the old school, the old teacher, the old friends. They got a little bit of everything and everybody to get them to where they are today.
Mm-hmm.
But the core being of that child is still left to you, and that comes from your life experience and some of the things you experience in your life. Because a lot of those negative traits and things that you see, a lot of things may be a different color, but the bottom line of that is still the same. You know when stuff ain't no good. It's just presented a different way, and that's based on your life experience and the hickeys that you've got along the way.
Right.
So, you know, so to me, still, if you're teaching that child properly, and for my kids, I wasn't just the average parent, because like Joy, I've been kind of entertainment business forever. I've met a lot of people along the way who's kind of shaped and molded me. I've traveled to a lot of places that shaped and molded me. I've had a lot of money. I've had no money. So in all that, it gave me somewhat of a balanced personality, because I know you could be rich today and broke tomorrow, but people who've never been rich can't even relate to that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I've been able to come full circle with myself. So now when I talk to a youngster, I could talk to them from the truth because I've been there. And they can hear the sincerity in my voice and my words. That's what the old people used to say. People have to hear sincerity in your words. It's not how you say it, but it's what you say and the meaning you have with it. People can hear the truth and hear the real. And when they feel that connection from you, whatever they're doing wrong, they're going to think about it, they're going to adjust it, they're going to fix it. And from that point on, you gave your blessing. And that's the best any of us can do.
Right.
Well, you mentioned a lot of this, and that's being a role model to all children, which is something that we all can do, because a lot of times you got parents, they, as Joy was saying, they're not talking about to their children about the real things. You got the parents that aren't sheltering their children from all the ugly and harm that's out there. They're making their – some. I've heard people say, I don't want to shelter my child. I want them to realize that life is not, you know, easy or not nice. Irregardless of that, they're going to learn that eventually, but you still should.
Tell me about this. In my generation, which I was a baby boomer, come from that one, I'm seeing women don't even have maternal bonds to their kids, and that just blows me away. I mean, we never knew that in the old days. When a mama had a baby, that was her baby. But I'm seeing mamas having babies and giving them to the stranger, the guy next door. Like it's a watermelon, like it ain't nothing. and they just go on. I'm like, wow, it's come to that?
Yes, it's
sad it has come to that. You know, things is not the same like it used to be. You know, when I was raised, I had that maternal support. I had that foundation. I had, you know, even though I didn't have my mother or my father, but my grandparents raised me, and they built the foundation first. They put the foundation, they laid it down for me, and then they start building. They start building my confidence. They kept building. They start laying the bricks, you know, they kept building until actually when they put the roof on the house, then it was a finished product, you know. But, like, now people are trying to build foundations, and there's no floor. There's nothing at the bottom. It's a continuous effort.
Your grandparents were probably products of the church. A lot of people don't even go to church anymore.
They don't even have
the love of something greater than themselves, which is a God, to believe that guiding them and directing them. I hate people, you know, that one minute they be talking about, oh, I'm a God, this, God, that. Then the next thing they talking about adulterous sex. You're like, well, do you understand what it is that he asks of you? Are you even living according to his word?
Are you even listening? You know?
To their words, and they stepped away, and we've got to reconcile ourselves back with God if we hope to have any type of salvation for ourselves, our children, or anything else. But if you're not going to raise your children in the way they should go, and they'll wonder what happened.
It's a continuous effort. It's not something that you put in and tomorrow you expect, you know, whatever. You have to keep planting those seeds. It's a continuous effort. And you never give up, you know, especially with these children. There's so many social challenges out there. There's so many things that, you know, that they look at, you know, when they go to school, they worry about their clothes. They worry about how they look. And, you know, it's just so much out there, even that we had to deal when we were children as well. But at the end of the day, you got to continuously plant those nuggets of wisdom, those seeds, keep placing them within those kids, because then you give them the confidence that they need. And even if they stray off for a little bit, they're going to come back. you know, because at least they were taught. You know, they had that root, that foundation, and them seeds that you planted all along.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm looking at a back, and they're filling. They're ruined already before they ever even get out the stable. So it's not hard talking about you're planting seeds if you're not truly hands-on showing them the way, guiding them, taking them to church and going with them. Your children can still get lost. Then you're here
right,
at 19.
Exactly. They sure can.
And well, they're already
messing. I just know if your kids don't have no respect for you, you ain't got nothing to build on anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I seen this little four-year-old kid the other day telling her mom and daddy, shut up. And I remember when I did that shit, I was picking myself up. Before I got out of my mouth good, I was getting up off the floor, you know.
And then go ahead.
But the respect was instilled in me from home. When I got to school, I had that same respect for teachers. When I came in touch with law enforcement, I had the same respect for them. And that helped me learn the rules, and that also helped form my character, my integrity, my morals and principles, because I learned that for every action, there is a reaction, whether it's positive or negative. But now kids don't get that from their home. They have no respect for their parents, so they will not respect the man across the street. They will not respect the teachers. And because the economy is up, the teachers only want to teach the kids that's trying to learn. They don't give a shit about the ones that ain't trying to learn, the troublemakers, the ones that's loud. They don't care if they never learn nothing. The teacher's there to make their money and go home.
And
so now they gravitate toward the ones that's trying to get the message. You know
right.
What I'm saying?
But understand, too, you know, when we were growing up, it was a whole total different situation, just like you said, okay, Diddy. And nowadays, these kids, they can call the cops on their parents because they whooped their ass. Okay, you got kids growing up to be serial killers and mass murderers and shit like that because they didn't get that ass whipping. And you know, when we were coming up, our neighbors were able, they saw us doing some wrong, they get that switch and whoop our ass and then go tell our parents. And our parents would whoop our ass. Okay, but nowadays it's like, you don't touch my child. Johnny, you go over there and get a time out. Fuck a timeout. A timeout ain't doing shit, but, like, sending them over there to think, okay, like, what else can I do? Okay.
Yeah, my last kid did that shit to me. He was causing problems in school. I got that ass. He told the teacher, the police came with me. So I've been through that, too. And I told him, if you could discipline my kid better than me, you need to keep him over there. You take care of him. Because, see, you guys will kill him. You guys would kill my child and think nothing twice about it. So you got a nerd to come and say to me about me disciplining my child from disrespecting a teacher.
So you won't kill him?
Teach him. So I'm wrong.
Right,
so you won't kill him? So I won't keep you employed another year? You got the nerve to come talk to me when I know you would do the same shit to your child? Get out of my face with that.
You know what I'm saying?
They stepped back on that, and they kind of repealed on that because they recognized that it had become the whole opposite direction. What it was trying to balance to the idiots that are out there abusing children, because children are being abused out here too by people that they wrap too tight. So there was
people that they trust and turn on them and stuff, you know, like preachers and bishops and people in the church that you think that you can trust, teachers and family friends and stuff like that, you know.
Family members. Shit. It was children were being abused out here, so they had to come up with something. But they have kind of back on that. They do now. Because they see the children getting out of hand, say that a parent does have a right, if they're trying to get control of their children, to discipline their children, and kids can't, you know, strike back. I mean, I've had that incident. My son thought he was going to, you know, square up with me until I brought him in here, and they told him straight up, no, if your mother is trying to get you to do something and you're not listening to her, she does have every right to discipline you.
So whoop that ass.
And so they took him and put him in time out for the night to let him know, yes, you will go to jail for hitting your mama, but your mama can discipline you. So it is a little bit
tap that ass.
Yeah,
I'm all for tapping that ass.
Respect, needs to be instilled. That's definitely true.
Mm-hmm. It takes a village to raise a child, you know. They've always said that, and that is so true.
But I think once a person has respect, that carries out through his entire life and everything else they do pretty much. They respect the situations and the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kate, that if the foundation is set in the home, but so many homes we see with the garbage for ingredients that we were talking about earlier. You got parents exposing children to everything. They want to get high in front of them. They want to get high with them. They want to drink in front of them. They want to have sex in front of them. They want to bring 10 different idiots up in front of them. They don't want to go to church. They cuss in front of their children. They're showing their children no type of positive images. And so the kids, they ain't completely stupid. They don't respect the parents. They don't give a damn about nobody else. And then you wonder, well, why doesn't Johnny listen to me? You'd have never set no standards for him to have to respect.
Exactly.
See, you do it. Same thing the dope dealers is doing or the prostitutes is doing on the TV. So,
and then when the teachers try to tell you something, then you say, you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy,
yeah.
I ain't got to listen to you.
They don't respect anybody because the ingredients that was put in and at home weren't right. And so the children went on to the world and didn't give a damn. But I ain't respecting my mama, I ain't got to respect you.
I ain't got to respect you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the people say, yeah, you're going to respect me because we're going to put this lead up in your butt.
Okay, and your ass in jail on top of that.
For the rest of your life, you know. And that's so kids are doomed from the day they walk out the door if the parents don't set the proper standards. That's what I'm talking about kids being destroyed as children. You have parents exposing their children to everything. Not trying to shelter them from anything. And your children are shocked.
It's not even any more shock value anymore as far as these kids are concerned because they've seen everything.
Exactly.
So it's really not a whole lot of shock value to a lot of what these kids see anymore, you know?
Right.
You got parents scared of
school on TV.
Children sitting over there and they watching sex scenes and the fucking parents sitting right over there talking on the phone and see what's going on. They don't even tell the children. When I was a kid, my parents quickly told us, y'all need to go to your room they changed.
Or it's like when grown folks are together and kids are in the room, you know, and they all up in the grown folks' conversation. You know, take your ass in your room. You're all up in grown folks' business. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And just let them sit there, you know. Well, Johnny, he's okay. You know, he needs to know this stuff. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he's not old enough.
It's grown folks' business here. You know, he don't need to know none of that shit.
Well, how about the mom being jealous of the daughter? How about the mother being jealous of her daughter?
Oh, yeah. That goes into play, too. Mama got a boyfriend eyeing that daughter and shit. You know,
and the mama dating the boyfriend and daughter is, too.
Okay. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. You know?
To men, everything going on for
power.
You know, just it's a mess out here. And until people pick up and get it together, it's going to continue to be a mess out here. And
even though
we're kicking some knowledge to some of these sinful people that's out here to clean up your lives, you wonder why your children shoot you. Your children shoot you because you've exposed them to everything. They don't get molested by people on your watch. You know, they done been exposed to the most on your watch. They were not protected. Our children are blessings, and we're supposed to honor them like we do our gold and our silver. But we treat them, you know, like they're the trash to be thrown out and expose them to everything. And then you wonder why they have problems. Why is my son doing 25 to life? Somewhere you missed it. That's why he's doing 25 to life instead of being a doctor or being a lawyer. You were awake on your call.
That's a shame, but that's how it is. But listen, you guys, I have got to go. Kay Diddy, I know you can hold it down for me.
Absolutely,
because
we don't keep turning corners.
Okay. And I will be back in full effect next week. I just got to handle some business today. Mama's being nominated for a BMA award, and I have a meeting to be at 4. And I love my people to call in, and I thank you. And vote for a sister and all that good stuff.
Definitely. Congrats.
Congratulations. I totally look forward to being in full effect next week.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Congratulations, Joy.
Thank you, and I love you guys so much.
And be safe out there from everybody on Can I Play a Play.
Oh, you know that, because I got my million vote taser for a nigga, okay? I ain't scared of none of them out there. And I tell them all the time.
All right, Joy LaChan, be safe.
All right, and I'll talk to you next week. Love you guys. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Peace.
Peace.
Anyway, now we've been talking about rearing kids and straightening little bad assholes up, but, you know, we didn't kind of turn the corner from complexities and jealousy.
That's okay. That's okay. Somebody needs to hear that today.
Yeah, I hope we're sending out a blessing out there and some positive input for somebody out there that got some little bad rascals. It's all right to take them over that knee. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they need that tough love.
We just took it deep. All of that, that's where all of these complexities and jealousies stem from. All that twistedness that goes on in one's life. So you didn't really sway too far. You just took it deep.
Okay. Well, long as I'm on point somewhere, because, you know, some of my, and our regular host, and let me give a shout out to Pretty Tony. He's out turning some corners. He has some business to take care of today, but he'll be back next week. But, you know, he always liked to say we're dysfunctional, but we're prolific, and my thing is I'm always prolific. So I'll go for that taking a deep compliment. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll accept that one. Boy, but we've been having a great time today talking about these jealous folks out there and trying to figure out what we could do about it.
Very interesting conversation.
We hadn't even played no music one time today because we were so up in that one.
If I can say one thing, I would say this. There's nothing you can do about somebody else's insecurities and jealousies, but continue to stay strong in who you are. If you could, you know, lend a hand because you recognize it as such and come and say, you know, pay homage by saying something positive to that person to help to build them up, that's all we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Insecurities. You know, they're going to forever be with them until they, you know, get over.
Until they turn it around. Absolutely.
Yeah, but you can't take it in.
How do you tell a person to recognize some things within their own person or character or self that they should already see first?
Well, some of them don't see it. That's the problem. You know, you have the person have to recognize it themselves. Some of them don't see it. You can say, you could preach all day on the pulpit talking about, you know, you need to fix yourself. And as soon as that person listens to you, they're amen with you. As soon as they walk out the church, they're off to something else. They have to understand and realize it from within. And if they don't understand it, and can't recognize it from within, how can they change themselves? They
what
have to see it.
Our minds work in two different ways. We deal with subconscious and a conscious. The conscious is that's sitting over here making you think everything is everything. But in that subconscious, the truth lies, and the truth of all the insecurities, the hurts, the harms, whatever, that got you stunted is where these insecurities are. So we don't work on that on a day-to-day basis. So we work off of our conscience. But what you can do is give a person a positive stroke, say something positive about them. I see people, like you were saying earlier, anytime I see somebody, I always give them a compliment. Oh, I like that shirt you got on. Oh, I like those pants. I like that dress. It ain't because I'm jealous. I'm paying homage to them that they got on something nice. Let's be open enough to say something kind to one another. Instead of feeling have nothing to share with one another. You can tell somebody, oh, you look nice today. I like your hair. But instead, we sitting around here, we'd rather get with somebody else and say something behind that person's back and snare at them because of our insecurities. But when you're comfortable with yourself, like you were talking about earlier, you can go up and you can tell the next man, you look nice today.
Right.
We need that.
Exactly.
Right, absolutely.
We need people to give us positive strokes. We probably need 100 up a day and get none.
Right, but to get right, get rid of that negativity.
Exactly. We at least need one, somebody to come up to us and not be afraid to say something nice. Should I told the person a lot? I didn't like their hairstyle. Maybe it wasn't nice, but I said it because it was something nice I could say.
Right.
Now you got to keep it real now. You got to keep it real.
No, but I'm talking about there's nothing wrong with saying something nice to somebody.
Oh, like
you
it was a nice hat.
You never
like,
know that when you say something nice to someone, you never know how it affects them. They could have had a bad day that day, but when you came by and said, you know what, I love that top of your ring. It's really beautiful. They probably haven't had a comment in the last 2-3 months. You know, they probably just walked out of their house and their husband saying, you know, it ain't nothing. You know, you look like this. You need to lose some weight. And when they walk out and you say something positive, you change their spirit. You change their whole perception of what they were thinking when they walked out the door.
So it's okay if I say, I like that suit, and I don't say, but just not on you.
See? You can't do that.
I said some positive. To him, right?
We're tearing the world. I just had a friend tell me last night that somebody they work with hung herself yesterday, a woman, left 5 children.
Hmm.
And when he told me that, the minute he said it, I said, what struck me is, I said, I wish I could have been able to speak to her, you know, before she did. I didn't even know the lady. But that was distinctly what came. I'm actually right now working on a master's for professional counseling to be able to counsel people because I see the damage. You know, we're walking my field of destroyed people out here just still trying to make it day to day. That's why I said, yes, we can't afford to be able to say something nice to somebody. The same way we choose to say something nasty to somebody or smart, we can turn it around and say something nice. To build one another up. That's what we need out here. We're destroyed.
It takes the same amount of energy.
Exactly. This is a minefield we walk through every day out here. Like we were talking about, you leave outside your door, you go to work, and you got people hating on you. Everywhere you go, you're hating on you. We need to hear somebody say something nice and loving and empowering and supportive to keep us on our walk, not people constantly tearing us down.
On the music front, you know, we started to make our little inroads on that. At least even with the music that we produce and have been generating lately, and I noticed that's kind of like came across the whole board now. People are writing more happy songs, more uplifting songs, more party songs. They're getting away from all the hood stuff, all the negativity, because people have moved past that. You know, things are rough for everybody. And like you said, we need to hear some happy shit now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We need uplifting, some positive stuff, some feel-good stuff. You know what I mean? We need that, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad to say in our industry, I'm glad they're starting to recognize that more. Even the youngsters are starting talking about more up stuff and let alone negative, degrading things.
Well, we kind of turned a corner, little do people know. We got a change in the guard, the end of a system of things. You know, I'm a great supporter of Obama and change. A lot of people don't get it, but the politics is where all the was, and it flowed down through the land. And he's in there, and he's working. Him and his people are working on making some, you know, real strategic, solid changes in the politics. And once the politics get straightened out, a lot of other things will change. But, yeah, it's a change of the. And people just ain't with it no more. Ain't no more shucking and jiving. You got to get it together. If you ain't doing right, you're going to suffer the consequences, and everybody going to get it together down here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about time, you know, and I guess I can say I'm blessed to see or be part of this change and see that it's happening, because the guards done changed, you know what I mean? You look at all the old millionaires, ain't the millionaires no more.
All right.
You know, the whole thing, they've been shaken up, flipped, moved around. So if your heart's in the right place, you know, you got the ambition, and you're trying to do the right thing, there's no reason that people can't, you know, rise to the top and do some really great things. You know, because
mm-hmm.
opportunities are out there, you know what I mean? You just have to have the guts to want to do better and quit trying to blame everybody for everything that's not happening.
Right.
Figure out how to make it happen and get busy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right about that. You know, you're absolutely right.
You know, the old people used to say, I keep referring to them because that's where my wisdom came from, you know, nothing beats a failure but a try. And
mm-hmm.
even if you fail, there's somebody going to see that you're actually trying, and they're going to give you what you need. Not because you asked for it, because they want to do it, because they don't mind passing the ball to somebody that's really sincerely trying to make the shit.
Right, that's trying to do it. Mm-hmm.
That's trying to do it. They're going to give it to you. So at the end of the day, you still won. You still
mm-hmm.
won. And you still feel good about your efforts because you tried. You tried. Yeah, I sound like I'm preaching today.
Amen.
You're saving lives. You know, you're bringing fruit in the land. You're saving lives. You are preaching. Preach on.
Yeah. And one thing that I loved about what you said a couple of minutes ago, when you said, you know, be a blessing and say something nice to someone else. And if a lot of more people do that, they will find out that they won't have time to be jealous. If you find a way to be a blessing to someone else, you will then change your focus away from yourself and your self problems and whatever you got going on. You won't have time to be jealous. So definitely,
you
what you said earlier made a lot of sense.
You not only do that, you change your whole vibe around
yeah,
you. You'll bring goodness and blessing into your life.
Mm-hmm. Your priorities start changing, and then you realize that things that used to make you jealous and go crazy don't even bother you as much anymore. So, yeah, definitely. I really appreciate that statement that you made.
Yeah, how could you not be truthful to yourself? And that's really what it boils down to. How could you not be real with yourself? If it smelled
mm-hmm.
good, it smelled good. How are you going to tell yourself that it don't? If it looked good, it looked good. How are you going to tell yourself that it don't? You know what I'm saying? If it don't fit, it don't fit. How are you going to tell yourself that it do? Some things are just what they are, and if you could deal with that, you have the basis to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the thinking that you change your whole life because you come more in line with truth and reality. It'll put you, like she was saying a few minutes ago, it will make you look at life different. It will cause you to start sliding away from the negative mentality people, and you'll find yourself with positive people. It'll put you in the right, it'll put you in your right arena, and your blessings will start coming into you. It's funny how that happens. That when
mm-hmm.
we come in line with the universe and the vibrations of the universe, our life will be set in order. But as long as you out here, you're going against the universe when you're, you know, selling bullshit or, you know, living against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
We are nothing but products of the universe. We are made from the dust. So we're all one with the universe. So you got to be in line with the universe. And when you're out of sync with the universe, that's what they talk about, bringing yourself into spiritual, mental, and physical harmony. It'll keep you from getting a lot of these illnesses and diseases. That's why a lot of people get illnesses, come up on them, high blood pressure. All that stuff is stress-related illnesses that come down on people because they're out of sync with the universe. You got to
mm-hmm.
be true to truth. You can't be living a lie in the face of truth and think that it's going to be okay. No, somewhere it's out of sync.
Hold on. We have someone else joining the show. Welcome to the show, 347. You're on.
Greetings. And I know that there's only a few minutes left, and greetings to your guests. This is Sleepy Love. How y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm just celebrating, not hating. It's a beautiful thing, you know. And I just heard, who was that? Who do you have with you, K. Diddy?
Well, we have Passion, we have Shakita Winfrey, and we had L.J. Knight. I don't know if she's still with us or not. And you have yours truly.
All right. And I was listening. I heard the Lady Joy had to go and big up to Pretty Tone. And I did hear something about, you know, when you talk about the universe, that's me, you know. And jealousy does something terrible inside of the body, you know, because it totally messes with your chemistry. And, you know, sickness does come from the things that are negative to the universe and not positive. So if I may say anything, you know, we just really, truly do need to get back in tune with nature, you know, so that we would know that how the trees flow, nothing is jealous there. So, you know, if we can look at any part of God's wonderful earth and see how, you know, how it's in oneness, how it's in sync, we too have to get back to that place. So if we need to go back to the garden and get it right, we need to go back to the garden and get it right.
And
that's
that
all
was
I
well,
to say.
And so well said from Sweet D.
Well said.
Got to take it back to the core. Got
to
take it back to the giddy up. Wow,
it's all getting reconciling ourselves back with God. So when we get back in reconciliation with Him and start, you know, living our lives according to His word, like the sister said, we will get back into the garden and be able to write this thing. And that's what's going on out here, you know, quiet as it's kept, that most people don't recognize. It was never about us. It was all about Him and His mouth.
Right.
And His plan
will
not come back void. So be manifested no matter what we do, who we think we are. His word will be made manifest.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about getting ourselves back to the garden and setting things right.
And it's going to happen whether we want to or not. One way or another, it's going to happen. So either we're going to walk in because that's what we want to do, or we ain't going to get there because we didn't get there. But the bottom line with this is, man, time has flew by so fast. We're down to our last 2 minutes of the show, and I'd like to take a minute and thank our guests for joining us. L.J. Knight, Miss is L.J. Knight from Yes, She Said It, that was joining us today to add us her wisdom and her insight, and also Miss Shakita Winfrey, that's my girl. Welcome to the show again.
I know. Thank you so much.
Tell them, where they can go get their books real quick. And Passion, don't go nowhere. Tell them where they go get you real quick, Shakita, where they go get your books and see you.
Okay. Well, you can actually buy two of my books right now that are already out at www.amazon.com. Or you can go to your traditional bookstores such as Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Borders, Walden Books, what have you. You can visit me on my website, www.shakitawinfrey.com. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/theotherwinfrey. That's where you can get the books. And, you know, basically, I appreciate everyone's support. We got to support one another, so I definitely appreciate the support that I already have and the future support that I'm going to get from a lot of fans out here. So definitely just follow me and, you know, and thanks, Lamont, for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
All right. And we over here kind of play love you. Passion, tell them where they can get you at right quick.
Hi, I'm Passion, and I just want to say thank you. Again, you guys had an excellent show today. I was grateful and blessed to be able to weigh in with my little opinions. And you can reach me at either queenkimmyb@aol.com, or you can reach me anytime at keepitpushing.yahoo.com. And thank you.
All righty then. Well, y'all know this is worldmovement.com. Come check us out. Our books, Kind of Play a Play, Play a Step Your Game Up, Who Is She and What Is She to You. Come get your copy. You can get them right now. come check out our shows, Rising Star Industry Showcase, back live in effect. And it's your boy K. Diddy representing for Pretty Tony and Lady Joy, and we out. Put this one in your ear as you go.
I'm so fly, yeah. Ain't gotta be up there with a G5, no. I like your style and you're feeling my swagger. I'm trying to get at you, but you act like you not ready for a man to come and do you right. I deserve a body, you deserve a quality in life, girl. So baby, come with me, let me show you things you never
seen. Shorty, you look fantastic. The moment is sporadic. Don't worry about the last guy. He was just plastic. Hope you ready to ride. Your seatbelt fast and I'll fly out of this world. Dimension of attraction. Don't mention all the action and backseat passion. Anything you want, girl, just ask it. I specialize in picking up lame dudes' trashes. One man's trash is another man's treasure. How do you better than that man could ever? I think much clever. Endeavor for whatever. Out of nowhere comes a rose and a letter. I'm the love doctor, a romance professor. You know I got the best love. Come on, girl, fess up. The way that thing stick out, the way your breath sit up. Blab my gas so fast, my words just trip up. The other guy bring you down, I'ma bring you up.
I'm so fly, yeah. Ain't gotta be up there with a G5, no. I like your style and you're feeling my swagger. I'm trying to get at you, but you act like you not ready for a man to come and do you right. I deserve a body, you deserve a quality in life, girl. So baby, come with me, let me show you things you never
relationship
seen.
To relationship, I know how that can get. I can promise you, this will be your last trip on a ship they call love boats. No hoax, I ain't playing you, this message I'm relaying to you. I ain't looking for a playgirl, a body I can play with. I'm looking for a good girl, somebody I can stay with. Are you speaking my language? To play with feelings is dangerous.